first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, second chapter, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were lifted with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds and of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Thank you, Joan. Better you than me with all those names. Whew. Wow. I'm gonna talk a little bit about that reading before we go on to Paul's letter to Corinthians. Because it's important, this being the day of Pentecost. Note in verse 8, for those of you following from the pew, how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Everyone present at Pentecost, they're saying, understood what the apostles were speaking. It wasn't that the apostles suddenly, miraculously learned these languages. It was that what they were saying, in however sort of ecstatic speech they were speaking, could be immediately understood by everybody. By everybody. It was some sort of a universal language, or a universal spilling out of the Spirit. And that's the idea of Pentecost. A Spirit so strong, supernatural in force, that everyone can identify with it. Everyone can learn it and understand it and speak it and live it. That's the idea of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is gone. He has left. Jesus has left the building. And he promises before he goes, "I'm sending another. I'm sending another that will help you, that will move you along." and you will be able to do not just what I do, but even more, even greater. The Holy Spirit, my friends, and Pentecost is that moment where, if we're honest with ourselves when we read it, we realize Christ's mantle is ours to pick up, and God's work is now ours to do. The key message of the coming of the Holy Spirit is this, and we've talked before about that word Spirit, how in both Hebrew and Greek it means the same thing as breath and wind. Spirit, ruah in the Hebrew, pneuma in the Greek. So when you read this and read elsewhere in the Bible, whenever they mention Spirit, they might just be mentioning the breath of God. And when the Spirit comes into us, we breathe the breath of God. Now, Teresa and I tried to figure out this morning, in a typical human life in America, how many breaths you might get. And we came up with around 670 million, based on Teresa standing in front of the stove timer, breathing for 30 seconds, and then doing a series of multiplications. It's a yoga principle that each human body is conceived and birthed with a determined number of breaths that they will have to breathe. Your body can take so many breaths, all the mechanisms, and then you're done. Therefore, by yoga, you should breathe as deeply and as slowly as possible. Now, I would like to try that. Cheryl taught us how to do diaphragm breathing. You want to demonstrate?
No.
I didn't think so. When we breathe, we are staying alive. When we breathe, it's involuntary, isn't it? You can willfully not breathe for about a minute or so, but as soon as you pass out, your body's going to go. You're pre-programmed by your brain, by your primitive brain, maybe by God, to continue to take in that ruah, that pneuma, that spirit. So let's all exhale. And slowly breathe in a way that your belly expands. Go ahead, ladies. You can let your belly expand. Breathing is supposed to be a full body exercise. When you breathe slowly and deeply, it opens up your blood vessels and your body works much more efficiently. A sense of peace and calmness can come over you when you breathe deeply. The attraction of smoking's a deep breathing exercise. It just happens to be filled with pollutants. If those same people would just go outside with a straw and take 10 minutes going, breathe deep the ruah, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that you are pre-programmed to take into your body. Now then, as you continue to do your deep breathing, Paul has more to say in his first letter to Corinthians. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit. Breathe deep. Who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was dispensed, responsibility became ours, my friend. You don't like the way the world is working? You don't like war? You don't like famine? You don't like greed? It's not God's job anymore to solve those problems. It's your job and my job. We are filled with the Holy Spirit every time we take in a breath. You don't like disease? It is our job to find the cures through medical science. Anything in your life or in this world you don't like, God and Christ have armed us to solve. This is the church after Pentecost. We need God. I'm not saying God has no place. In fact, without God, we are dead. We are breathing in God with every breath. Every step we take is not just sponsored, but fueled by God. However, the work of the church is the work of the church. These issues are ours to solve. Now, if you read the back of your bulletin, that bit by Julia Ward Howe, you'll see a woman who tried to start a holiday to, some would say, take a Don Quixote sort of tilt at windmills to try to stop the machines of war. If you look at our inner city schools where there are so many problems, you'll find one or two individuals filled with the Holy Spirit in one form or another who refuse to give up on children. If you look at a mom, you see someone doing the impossible every single day. And in particular, I think of someone like a Lori Pickering, and I'm not gonna point you out too much, my girl. But a single mom who raises three great kids by herself. I think of people who've raised children with special needs. I think of people who have raised other people's children. I think of the miracle of motherhood. And what I see is somebody breathing in God and working God's work in the world. We have life because of God. And would the children come forward with Anna, please, and sit up there, those who are singing with her. We have life because of God. We live life for each other, to make a better world. Every breath we take, we are breathing in the Holy Spirit. And we have a limited number of breaths. The mechanism will only last so long. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, on this Mother's Day Sunday, I ask you, I beg of you, I pray for you to feel the gift that God has given you in that breath you just took, to feel the promise of what is to come in that next breath you're going to take, to know that you were built by God for so deep a purpose that only you can fill, to savor your life, to taste it on your tongue, and live it for all you can for your God.